We're on Daf Tzadi Hey Omid Aleph, and we're going to count down from the top. One, two, three, four, five. Five lines down from the top. And we're up to Lema Abaye Verova Bepluta Deravu Shmuel Kamiflugi. So we had a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel regarding the principle of Pi Tikra Yored Vesosim. And the question was whether or not we apply that principle even on four mechitzos, on four sides, in the case of an achsadra. Rav is of the opinion that you could apply Pi Tikra on all four sides, and Shmuel says no. Pi Tikra cannot apply unless you have at least one bona fide mechitza. So the Gemara now wants to present a machlokas between Abai Varov and say that Abai Varov are arguing about the same old machlokas as Rav and Shmuel. We can match up, line up the shitas. The Yitmar, Sichech al Gabi Achsadra Sheyesh La Ptzimim. We're talking about the issue of a sukkah, and he has an Achsadra, which is a ceiling that's held up on four sides by four poles. It's open, but it has ptzimim. If it has ptzimim, then everybody's going to agree that the sukkah is kshera. And that is because the ptzimim are set up as mechitzos, and one board is close to the other by, let's say, 2.9, less than 3 tefachim, so that we apply lovut. Ein lo ptzimim. But what happens if you don't have these boards? All you have is poles on four sides holding on to the achsadra on top. And now we have machloks chin Abai v'rova. Abai omar kshera. Abai says that this is a valid sukkah. V'rova omar psula. And Rava disqualifies the sukkah. Abai Omar Kshera, Amrinim Pitikra Yored Vesosem. Abai is willing to apply the principle of Pitikra on all four sides of the Achsadra, and hence we have a perfect sukkah with four tfanos. Rava Amar Psula. Rava disqualifies the sukkah Delo Amrinon Pitikra Yored Vesosem. We don't apply this principle. You don't have any mechitzos, and you can't apply Pitikra. Lema, shall we say, Abai Karav, Verava Kishmuel. This machlokas between Abai Verava is identical to the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara says the following: Alib the Shmuel Kuliamalo Pligi. Everybody agrees that Shmuel would certainly invalidate this sukkah, which is schach on top of achsadra that has no ptzimin, because Shmuel holds that you don't apply Pitikra Yorev Vesosem on all four sides. So Abai could certainly not be reconciled with Shmuel. But Ki Pligi, the Machlokas Abai and Rava is Alib de Rav. What would Rav say about this sukkah? Abai Kirav. Abai says that just like Rav holds that you're allowed to carry in an Achsadra in the middle of a Bikkah, because you can apply the Pitikra Yorev Vesosem, therefore will apply the same Pitikra to the Achsadra in Sukkah. And when he puts the Schach on top of the Achsadra, it's a Sukkah Kshera. But Rava wants to reconcile himself with Rav. You get the impression that we pasken like Rav. Ad kan lo kama Rav hasam. Where does Rav assume that if you set up an Achsadra in the middle of a Bikkah, and you want to be Matit Tiltul on Shabbos, and you can do so by applying the principle of Pitikra, that's Ella Dahani Mechitzos Lachsadra Avidi. Because when they set up the beams of the Achsadra, and with these beams, with these koros, we're going to apply the principle of Pitikra, those beams were set up in order to identify and set off the Achsadra as a separate Rishus. And the Mechitzos were done in order to be Matir Tiltul. They weren't put up in order to be Matir Tiltul, but the Mechitzos, insofar as they were set up for the Achsadra, meaning for the inside of the Achsadra, they now serve as Mechitzos. Aval Hocha. But in the case of Sukkah, Rava postulates a new principle that applies in a very special way to Sukkah. Tahani Mechitzos Lav LeSukkah Avidi. that these mechitzos, in the case of the asadja, were not set up for the sake of sukkah. He's got an asadja, like a pergola, that's up there the whole year round. It's not there for the purpose of mitzvah sukkah. Now he puts tzchach on top of it. And he wants to apply the principle of pi tikra on all four sides to set up the fanos of this sukkah. Lo, in this case, we don't apply the principle of pi tikra. And even Rav would agree to that. So therefore, Rava says, I can work out even according to Rav. And what this means really is that in sukkah there's another element of l'shem mitzvah. Now, although it's true that there's no requirement that the schach itself has to be put up l'shem mitzvah, but nevertheless, if you want to set up defanos for the sukkah, and your defanos are just pitikra, that has no relationship to the mitzvah of sukkah. There's no element of l'shem sukkah. And now we're up to the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah records machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda regarding a situation of a mechitza that was valid and standing, healthy and strong, at the outset of Shabbos, and it fell on Shabbos. Can he continue to allow, permit tiltal on that Shabbos, for the balance of that Shabbos, simply because at the outset of Shabbos, going into Shabbos, there was a mechitza, but now it's the middle of Shabbos, there is no mechitza. Rabbi Yehuda says, we can rely on the original het to tiltal, and that is chal for the entire balance of Shabbos. And Rabbi Yossi says to him, well, what about next Shabbos? Are you going to tell me that even next Shabbos you're going to rely on a mechitza that doesn't exist anymore, on a kosel that fell? So you yourself, Rabbi Yehuda, will have to admit that next Shabbos, we're going to have to do a tikkun, we're going to have to fix up this kosel that fell. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, you, Rabbi Yehuda, should be consistent. If next Shabbos the din is like that, then this Shabbos the din is like that. And if this Shabbos the din is lakula, and you can rely on the het to tiltal of this Shabbos, then you can rely on the next Shabbos too. What's the difference between the balance of the first Shabbos and next Shabbos? Ibailu, the Gemara raises the following suffix. Rabbi Yossi lesar olahatir. What did Rabbi Yossi accuse Rabbi Yehuda? What did he say, Rabbi Yehuda, you should be consistent in your logic? Did he mean to say that just like next Shabbos it'll be Osir because there's no Kosel, so to this Shabbos, the balance of the Shabbos, when the Kosel falls, it should be Osir? Or did he mean the other way around? That since you, Rabbi Yehuda, are Mekil for this Shabbos, even when the Kosel falls down, you should be likewise consistently Mekil on next Shabbos? Rav Sheshes Lesser, V'chein Omer Rav Yochanan Lesser. What Rabbi Yossi was saying is that you, Rabbi Yehuda, should concede that on this Shabbos it should be awesome. Because you admit that next Shabbos it's not a valid mechitza, then why should it be a mechitza for this Shabbos? Tanya Nami Hochi, and we have that in a brisa. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi turns to Rabbi Yehuda and he says, Kishem Shasurim Liyasid Lavo, just like you admit that for future Shabbos it's going to be awesome, Kach Asurim Afliosa Shabbos. Itmar, how do we paskin in this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef Amar, halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. We paskin like Rabbi Yossi that even on this Shabbos, for the balance of the Shabbos, once the kosel falls, there's no heter tiltal. Shmuel Amar halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel accepts the kula, the lenient opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that for the balance of this Shabbos, it's mutl betiltal, applying the principle of Shabbos hol v'hucha hucha. Umi amar Shmuel hachi, the Gemara now is going to postulate that there is a contradiction between two statements of Shmuel. Then on the one hand, we have this transmission that Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but we have a contradictory statement in the name of Shmuel. And that was attached to a Mishnah later on in Daf Pei. Earlier on Daf Pei Aleph, the Mishnah says, "Vatanan, Om Rabbi Yehuda, v'med for mamurim beiruve tchumin, avu beiruve chatzeros, ma'arvin bein ledas, bein shalol ledas, lefisha zochin liodom shalol b'fonov, v'ein chovin liodom shalol b'fonov." Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that just like an Erev Tchumen requires das, requires the approval of the person for whom which we are setting up the Erev, so too Erev Chatzeros, if one of the residents did not actively participate and contribute to the Erev, the other Bnei HaChatzer could offer as a very nice gesture that they would set up the Erev Chatzeros on his behalf. The Chachamim say, no deal. You cannot set up neither an Erev Tchumen without the approval of the person, nor an Erev Chatzeros. So Yehuda differentiates. He says, well, Erev Tchumen, there's an element of Chov. Ein Chov in Le'odim Shalom Fana. You must get his approval. We don't know that he wants to get 2,000 Amah from the east. Maybe he wants to get 2,000 Amah from the west. But in the case of Erev Chatzeros, it's a win-win situation. It's totally for his benefit. It's going to allow him to carry from the house out to the chotzer. I mean, he doesn't necessarily have to use the Erev and rely on the Erev, but at least there's no downside to the Erev. Now, with regard to Rabbi Yehuda's statement, in that Mishnah, there is a psak halacha of Shmuel. Om Rabbi Yehuda, Om Shmuel halacha, ki Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel says that in the case of Erev Chatzeros, we don't need his approval. We could do it on his behalf. And furthermore, says Shmuel, Elakol Makum Sheshana Rabbi Yehuda Be'eruvin Aloch Kimoso. Wherever we see Rabbi Yehuda making a statement about the Eruv, whether the Eruv is kosher or it's not kosher, we're always going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The Amalei Rav Chino Bagdisol Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda brought this transmission in the name of Shmuel, that we always paskin like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda in Eruvin, he immediately asked him, Omar Shmuel afilu b'mavoi shenital koroso l'chayov? Are you going to tell me, Rav Yehuda, that what Shmuel meant was that we're going to paskin like Rav Yehuda, even in the case of a mavui, as we know from the beginning of Amasechta, needs a lechi or a korah. Now, in the middle of Shabbos, the lechi, the korah, was removed. It was destroyed. Are we going to paskin like Rav Yehuda, who says that since the Lechi and the Korah were there on Erev Shabbos, therefore you could be Mekil and you could be Metaltal in this Mavui, even if the Lechi and the Korah fell in the middle of Shabbos? Omer Lei, Rav Yehuda responded to this question of Rav Chino, and he said the following. He said to him, Bidine Erevin Amarti L'chavlo Bich Mechitzos. What I told you that Shmuel paskins straight across the board like Rabbi Yehuda, that's only an Erevin. You want to know, for example, if this Erev Chatzeros is valid or not, we're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, who validates the Erev even without the approval. But you're asking me a question about Mechitzos. The Korah or the Lechi serve as a fourth Mechitza to close up this Mavui, and now there's no longer a Lechi or a Korah. Can we now validate the Mechitza even in the absence of the Mechitza when it's gone? That Shmuel never committed himself to that position, to paskin like Rav Yehuda, but we see clearly from this Shaklavitaria that Shmuel never accepted the opinion of Rav Yehuda that a mechitza that was set up and was valid on Erev Shabbos remains valid for the entire balance of Shabbos. So how then can Shmuel paskin like Rav Yehuda in our mission against Rav Yossi? On Rav Hanan, l'didi mefarshin alimeni minei de Shmuel. I understand the words of Shmuel, that there's no contradiction between these two statements, because each statement was said in a different scenario. Khan, when Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, that's a case of Nifritza Lekarmelis. The Chotzer had a Mechitza that separated it from a Karmelis. That Mechitza fell down on Shabbos. Shmuel is going to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, that for the balance of the Shabbos, even though the mechitza is nifritza, it's no longer a valid mechitza, nevertheless, you can continue carrying inside the chatzer. Why? Because even in the worst case scenario, if he'll accidentally carry from the chatzer out to the Karmelis, there's no violation of an Issa Torah. Khan, however, when Shmuel says that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that's a case of nifritza l'rishus harabim. Here Shmuel holds that there's an Issa Tiltal, even during the course of this very same Shabbos, We're going to paskin like Rabbi Yossi in this context, because the chashash, what we're worried about, is that he may take out b'shogeg from the chotzer out to Rishus HaRabin. And the chotzer is a Rishus HaYochid. He will thereby violate an Isur Dorais. And now, Rabosai, we will learn the last Mishnah in the ninth perek. And the Mishnah says, Habone Aliyah al Gavi Shnei Batim. The Mishnah is presenting the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in three different scenarios. Scenario number one is he sets up a bridge that connects the top of one house, which is on one side of the Rishus HaRabim, with another house on the other side of the Rishus HaRabim, and Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow you to carry from one bias to the other bias underneath this overpass, underneath this aliyah. Scenario number two, V'chein Gisharim HaMefulashim. Gisharim HaMefulashim are, again, kind of bridges, and they have openings on the ground level. It's kind of like if you imagine our highways today, that you get to an overpass and there's an opening here for the traffic going north. There's an opening there for the traffic going south. And once again, he's got a ceiling of this gesher over the Rishus HaRabim. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow you to carry underneath that gesher. And finally, we have the case, Abon Aliyah V'chein Gisharim HaMefulashim is Metalton Tachteim B'Shabbos. There are two cases here. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to carry underneath them on Shabbos. And Chachamim Osrim. The third case is now coming up. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'arvim L'Mavui HaMefulash. If you have a Mavui that goes from one side of Rishus HaRabim and ends up at the other end of Rishus HaRabim, you can create what's called a Shitufei Mavos. And even though it's open on two sides, Rishus HaRabim, Rabbi Yehuda allows you to validate, he validates the Shita of Mavos, and therefore you're allowed to carry. Chachamos. Amar Rabba, lo tema hainu taimid Rabbi Yehuda. We're now going to analyze what is the underlying reason and the principle of Rabbi Yehuda who allows you to carry underneath the aliyah, underneath the gesharim. Says Rabba, don't say it's mishum de kasavar shtei mechitzas doraisa. It's not based on the principle that since you have two mechitzos, the area between these two mechitzos, even though it's technically located in the Rishus HaRabim, becomes a Rishus HaYochid by virtue of the fact that there's a mechitza on the right and a mechitza on the left. No, that's not the underlying principle here of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda requires mechitzos on all sides. Ela mishum de kasav pitikra yoriv sosem. On this aliyah, if you go to the edge of the overpass on any side, you have mechitza. So you have one real bona fide mechitza on the right, one bona fide mechitza on the left, and now from the two edges of the aliyah, you can set up another two mechitzos through the principle of pitikra yoriv sosem. And we're going to do the same thing in the case of Gesharim. And if that be the case, then really Rabbi Yehuda agrees in principle that you need four mechitzos to set up Rishus HaYochid, but you have four mechitzos once you apply the principle of Pitikra Yorid V'Sosei. Eisvei Abaye. Abaye is going to quote a brisa to refute Rabba, and to try to prove that, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda holds shtei mechitzas doraisa. An area that is surrounded by two mechitzas is already a Rishus HaYochid doraisa. Because the brisa says, Yeser al kein. In other words, in addition to what we have in our Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, mi sheyesh lo shnei batim, mi shnei tzidi Rishus HaRabim, o so lechi mikan, it means that he's got two batim, which are basically the facades of each bayis, serve as mechitzos to allow you, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to carry from one bias to the other bias. Again, midrabanon, we need a lechi mikan, or a kor mikan, a kor mikan. But fundamentally, we have already Rishus HaYochid Doraisa, because the area here of Rishus HaRabim is now set off on both sides by two mechitzos. So the area between the two houses on the two sides of the Rishus HaRabim is a Rishus HaYochid. Amru lo, the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Ma'arvin Rishus HaRabim Makach. We disagree with you. We assume that the area between the two batim is Rishus HaRabim. You can't set up a lechi and a korah to be matir Rishus HaRabim. A lechi or a korah can be matir Rishus HaYochid. So we have here a fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim about the area between two machitzos, whether or not it's called Rishus HaYochid, or if it's part of the highway, it's Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda definitely validates and defines an area that's set aside by two machitzos as Rishus HaYochid. And that's on a Doraisa level. The Rabbanu may require Korah and Alechi, etc. But this is all against Rabbah, because Rabbah said, forget about Rabbi Yehuda and identifying him as requiring no more than two mechitzas. No. Rabbi Yehuda is based on Pitikras Yored Vesosem. Amalei. So Rabbah responds to Abaye, Mahi, in. You're right. From that price, you can certainly conclude that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's sufficient to have two mechitzos min haTorah, that's already a Rishus HaYochid, but meha lekala mishma mine. From our Mishnah, you would not be able to prove and draw the conclusion that according to Rabbi Yehuda, an area that's set aside by two mechitzos is a Rishus HaYochid Oraisa. So the reason for Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, in the case of a Gesher or an Aliyah, is because of Pitikri Yorid Vesose. Now, the Mefarshim asked the following question. I mean, once we know from the Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Shtei Mechitzos Doraisa, so what difference does it make if you derive that from the Braisa or you derive from the Mishnah? What is the push here of Rabbah to tell us that from the Mishnah you would have no proof to derive the conclusion that Shtei Mechitzos Doraisa, but rather the Mishnah is based on Pitikri Yod Vesosim? And in general, you could ask, why do we need Pitikra Yod Vesosim if we have the Braisa? And the Braisa establishes that two mechitzah doraisa. So one of the great mefarshim that we've quoted numerous times on Erevin is the Gaon Yaakov. And he says that if the reasoning underlying Rabbi Yehuda's Shita was only Shtei Mechitzah Doraisa, then he would require two lechayayims on both sides. Like the case of the Shnei Batim, but now that we're applying the principle of Pitikri Yod Vesosim, then we have, in effect, four mechitzos, and therefore we don't need a lechi or a korah. Om Rav Hashi Masnisa Nami Deka. The Mishnah will also be a raya for Rav if we are meticulous about reading the Mishnah. Why? Because Midik Tani, it says in the Mishnah, V'yod Omer Rabbi Yehuda Ma'arvim B'movi Yamafulash V'chacham Omer Osrim I'yamer Pishlei Mishum D'kosav V'pitikri Yorid V'sosem. If you accept Rabbah that Rabbi Yehuda's Shitana in the Mishnah is based on Pitikra, which according to the God Yaakov means that you don't need the Shnei L'chayayim that you normally use in two mechitzos, is Hainu D'katani. Now I understand the V'od. In other words, not only in a case of Pitikri Yod Vesosem is Rabbi Yehuda Matir Tiltul, he's Matir Tiltul even in a case we have two mechitzos, and Midoraisa becomes a Rishus HaYochid, and now all you need in order to be Matir Tiltul Mirabbanon is to set up a Lechi and a Korah. But if you're going to tell me against Rabbah that even the Reisha of the Mishnah and the underlying logic of Rabbi Yehuda is the principle of Shtei Mechitzos Doraisa, Mishum Kasavar Shtei Mechitzos Doraisa, my V'od. Why does the Mishnah say in the Seif, in the case of the Mavui, V'od, Amar Rabbi Yehuda? This is not a new din, a new breakthrough of Rabbi Yehuda, because it's basically applying the same principle of Shtei Mechitzos. Shmamino, therefore we prove that Rabbi Yehuda in the Reisha, in the case of the Aliyah and the Gesher, is talking about Pitikra with that nafkamina that we mentioned before, whereas in the Sefer he breaks new grounds and he establishes the halacha of shtei mechitzos doraisa. Hatran alecha kol gagos. And now we begin the 10th and the last perek of Masechta Eruvin. This Mishnah is going to talk about a concept called Hatzolah. Hatzolah is something that we discussed in Masechta Shabbos when a fire breaks out. But here we're not talking about a fire that breaks out and you want to save your possessions, but rather you want to save tefillin. And the tefillin are out there in Rishus HaRabim. You want to take the tefillin into Rishus HaYochid in order to protect them. And the only option that it would seem would be available is to wear the tefillin, because to carry the tefillin would be a violation of Melechus HaTzah, to carry the tefillin from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. So how do you save these tefillin? HaMotzi tefillin. So let's say there's an area outside the city and it's very much a bizoyin for the tefillin if you don't take it in. Is machnisan, according to the Tanakama, zug zug, which means you're allowed to wear on your arm and on your head the tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh, but only one pair at a time. So you'll carry one pair into the Rishus HaYochid, take them off, go out there again in order to wear a second pair. And Rabbi Gamliel Omer, shnayim shnayim. You could wear two pairs of tefillin at the same time. The Gemara is going to be medayik from Rabbi Gamliel that he allows two tefillin, but he wouldn't allow three pairs of tefillin. So we have now a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel as to whether or not you could wear two pairs of tefillin simultaneously in the process of hatzolas hatefillin. Now the Gemara makes another comment. It seems that back in the day of the Talmud, they used to have objects that look like tefillin, but they're not really tefillin. They were kamiyas. And by Medvar Mur, when do we say that he has to bring these tefillin inside, wear them either one at a time, one pair at a time, or two pairs at a time? That's only yishanos. Older tefillin that you can identify that these tefillin were certainly tefillin that had a kesher. Even if now, let's say, you don't see the kesher so clearly, but you can tell by the wear and tear of the tefillin that the kesher is there, and the kesher of the tefillin is absolutely critical. It also has, in the case of tefillin, the kesher has Shin Dalet Yud, the name of God, because the tefillin shel rosh has a kesher in the back that looks like a dalet. The tefillin shel yad has a kesher that looks like a yud. And on the tefillin shel rosh, they also have a shin. So you have shin, dalet, yud. And these are tefillin, they have kedusha. We're not allowed to leave them out there in the public area. Aval b'chadoshos potur. In the case of Chadosh, there's no requirement, no obligation to take them into the city, because this is a kamiya that was created b'tzuras tefillin. It doesn't have kedushas tefillin. We will not allow any leniency in terms of Chil Shabbos for the sake of these tefillin, even if it's in violation of an Isur d'Rabbanan. And what we're going to see is that the kamiya has a tzuras tefillin in that it's square, it has batim, and it even has a blita b'tzura shin on one side. But the kesher of the kamiya is not created. It doesn't exist, because to make a kesher you require a lot of torach, and for the sake of a kamiya they didn't make the kesher. So the kesher is not an integral part of the kamiya. And maybe he ties it up a little bit, but he's not going to tie it in a way that's a kesher shel tefillin. And therefore, you can look at these tefillin and you can see that these tefillin were not made for the sake of kedushas tefillin. They're not endowed with kedushas tefillin. And since they weren't made kilchasam, you can call them a kamiya, but we're not going to violate even an isur d'rabbanan for the sake of protecting a kamiya that doesn't have kedushas tefillin. Mitzan tzvasim o krichos. The Mishnah continues and tells us that if he finds a bundle of tefillin, a multiple pairs of tefillin that are sort of like tied together, and that's called tzvatim, Well, krichos, they are wrapped almost like sandwiches. So he's got many, many tefillin that are tied together. Is machshech aleihem? Apparently, in this case, he cannot unravel the tefillin and wear them. So what we do is we wait until Shabbos, until it's nightfall. He should stand there and make sure to protect the tefillin. And then, mevion, and here we turn to Daf Tzadi Heyamid Beis, and then he can bring them together after nightfall. The Gemara later on Daf Tzadi Zayin is going to explain what this case of Tzvasim and what the Krichos is and why the din changes. It's not the same as what he finds individual pairs of tefillin. And that's going to be explained in the Gemara. Ubisakon, and the Mishnah says, if he's afraid of listim, and these robbers might attack him, and therefore he doesn't want to wait until nightfall, is then mechasan, he should cover the tefillin over with a beged, in order that there shouldn't be a bizayon, a humiliation to the tefillin, v'holichlo, and that's the best he can do. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon has another eitzah about how he can get these tefillin back into the bais and protect them without exposing himself to the danger of the listim. And what does he do? Nosno lechavero, vechavero lechavero, ad shemagia lechotzer ha-chitzona. So we set up a kind of conveyor belt, so to speak. You may remember that in the old days when they put out a fire, you remember one person would hold a pail, pass it to the next guy, to the next guy, to the next guy, until they put it over the fire, one pail after the other. Here also Rav Shimon says that one person should pick up the tefillin, give it over to someone else in the Rishus HaRabim, but it's less than Dalet Amos, so it doesn't violate Ma'avir Doraisa. And each one will pass it on to someone who's less than 4 amos away until it finally gets into the city. Normally, we don't allow carrying in Rosh Hashanah less than Dalet Amos, but for the sake of the tefillin, Reb Shimon allows it. V'chein b'no. B'no, here's the case where a woman gave birth out there in the fields, and he wants to take the baby back into the home. He doesn't want to leave it out there in the sada and the elements. There's no snow. L'chaver v'chaver l'chaver afilein mea. One passes the baby on to the next to the next, even 100 people. Seems like a very public act here. Until they finally get back to the house. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no sein adam chavis l'chavero v'chavero l'chavero afilu chutz l'tchum. Rabbi Yehuda says that if we want to save a chavis, a barrel of wine, for example, and you're outside of the tchum, then once again, we're going to allow this conveyor belt system that we mentioned before, pass it on to one person, to another person, a person to the next, miyad liyad. And even if you reach the end of the tchum, which is alpayim ama, there, he should give it to people who have shoveis chutz l'tchum, they already had an Erev outside the Tchum. Amru lo, lo tahalech zu yosem iragli baleha. Impossible. We're not allowed to take this barrel and give it over to someone who has a different Tchum of Shabbos to allow getting it in that day, because the Kelim HaKona Shvisa Keregel HaBailim, wherever the Baal, the owner of the Kelim, was Kona Shvisa, that's the exact limit of the Kelim as well. So that you cannot set up a situation where these kelim are taken chutz l'tchum ha'bayla. And all this, Mirtz Hashem, will be taken up in the Sugyas HaGemara. We're going to focus our attention today on the machlokas in the Tanakhama Rav Gamliel. Kasher, the Tanakhama holds that you can carry and wear only one zug of tefillin at a time, whereas Rabbi Gamliel allows you two zugos of tefillin at a time. The Gemara opens up by trying to clarify who, in fact, is the Tana of our Mishnah, Tana Kama. Can we identify it? And the Gemara says the following: zug Echad in Tfeilo. The Tanakhama is of the opinion you're allowed to carry, or where I should be more precise about it, one pair of tefillin, but not two. Lema Tanastama Delo Ki Rabbi Meir. Shall we therefore exclude Rabbi Meir as a possible candidate for the authorship of our mission? The Iker Rabbi Meir, HaOmar, Rabbi Meir says that, let's say, for example, a fire breaks out and you want to save Begadim and you want to take him out into a chotzer, you're allowed to wear one Begad on top of another, on top of the other, layers and layers of Begadim, and that's all considered Derech Malbush, which we're going to allow in the case of Atzolah. And the Gemara is going to apply Rabbi Meir to the case of Tefillin. HaOmar, Rabbi Meir says, as far as Deleika is concerned, when there's a fire that broke out, he wants to save his properties, his possessions, his lovesh. He wears many layers of clothing. Kol mashi yochel lobosh, as much as he can take. Otev, and as far as coverings over the head, kol mashi yochel latov, one covering on top of the other. And even though normally that would not be a classic Derech Malbush, but nevertheless, for the sake of Hatzolah, we're going to expand our definition of Derech Malbush. We're going to say this is not Otzol, you're not carrying, you are wearing it. This not, we learned in the Mishnah at the end of Masechta Shabbos. Ulashav, if you want to take from your house during this fire out into the chutzah that's next to your house, is Motzi Kol Klei Tashmisho V'lovesh kol mashiyochel lilbosh V'otev kol mashiyochel latov. You're allowed to take out kelim into your chatzah, which normally is prohibited, but we know that you're going to need these kelim for the balance of Shabbos. You're going to eat meals. We want to facilitate your ability to fulfill the mitzvah of shalosh sudos. And as far as saving your possessions, you have begadim, then wear as many as you can. And this is the shita of Rabbi Meir, that hatzolos begadim, you can wear yoser mi'ah regilus, more than what you normally would wear. And if we apply that here to the case of hatzolos zugas tefillin, then we're going to allow you to wear many pairs of tefillin, like we would in the case of a malbush, for the sake of hatzolos and adleika, wear many pairs, layers and layers of garments. So you should also apply that to the case of tefillin and allow him, for the sake of Hatzolah's tefillin and Shmiras HaTefillin, to wear two pairs of tefillin. So therefore, we come to the conclusion that the Tanakhama holds that there's no expanded definition of Derech Malbush, even for the sake of Hatzolah. But Derech Malbush means exactly what it says, that what's the normal way you would dress? You dress with one layer of garments? Would you wear two pairs of tefillin simultaneously? When was the last time you saw such a thing? Don't answer that question. In any event, the Gemara says, now, how do we know that the Tana of the Mishnah and Shabbos is Rabbi Meir? After all, we didn't see that the Mishnah mentioned Rabbi Meir. Hahi stama. When we have a stam Mishnah, and then we're going to assume it's Rabbi Meir, Mimai de Rabbi Meir, the Katani Allah, Love Shumotzi Uposhet, Velova Shumotzi Uposhet, Afil Kol Yom Kule Divre, Rabbi Meir. So that the Mishnah mentions Rabbi Meir's name, and let me clarify that. The Mishnah doesn't mention Rabbi Meir's name, but the Braisa mentions Rabbi Meir's name. The Braisa adds to the Mishnah two things. Number one, that after he wears his begadim, as many layers as he can, he takes them out and puts them in a safe place out there in the chotzer. Then he goes back in and again takes layer after layer and wears it. And whose shita is that? That is Rabbi Meir. So we see that Rabbi Meir has this, as we said before, an expanded definition of Derech Malbush with a leniency for the sake of Hatzolah. And if so, our Tanakhama, our Mishnah that allows you to wear only one pair of tefillin, could not be reconciled with Rabbi Meir. Oh, my Rav says, Afilu Tamer Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that of Rava says that we can reconcile Rabbi Meir with our Mishnah. It's one thing to wear many layers of begadim. It's quite another story to wear two pairs of tefillin. Afilu tamer Rabbi Meir. Hasam over there in the case of Hatzol's begadim. Derech malbusho. If he's saving the begadim by wearing them, he's not carrying them. Is kechol shavi rabbonon. The rabbonon were matir, wearing malbushim as if it was chol. And if a person during the week decides that he wants to wear many layers of clothing, he's afraid of the cold or whatever it might be, then he does so. And since the rabbonon said that for the sake of Hatzolah, we are going to take the definition of Malbush that would apply on Chol and apply it to Shabbos, such that just like on Chol, if he were so to choose, he could wear many layers of begadim, and it's all called Malbush. So we look at the way a person would dress on a weekday, and that's going to set a paradigm and the parameters of what's considered Derech Malbush. So Rabbi Meir says that it could be under certain conditions, with certain people, they will wear many layers of begadim. I know I spent 2 years in Canada. I used to always try to wear, you know, something underneath my shirt, and then on top of my shirt, and a sweater, and, I was very sensitive to the cold. So that's already considered Derech Malbush, and Rabbi Meir is willing to say that on Shabbos, for the sake of Hatzolah, we're going to borrow the Derech Malbush definition in expanded form from Chol. But hacha, here in the case of Hatzolah's tefillin, derech malbusho, kechol shavinu rabbonon, the rabbonon are going to say that Shabbos can now borrow the parameters of Yom Chol. We're going to be matirim Hatzolah the Shabbos the way he would do a levisha b'chol. But hasam, in the case of Chol, and it's cold outside, is kama deboy lovish. A man will wear as many begadim as he wants, as we said before, many layers. And therefore, as far as Hatzolah is concerned, we're going to borrow that expanded definition of Malbush and apply it here on Shabbos. Linyan Hatzolah Nami Shor Le Rabbonon. But hach, in the case of tefillin, the Chol Nami, how many pairs of tefillin are you wearing on a weekday? Zug Echad In Tfei Lo. You'll wear one, but not more than one. So that now we're going to borrow the standards of Derech Malbush from Chol and apply them to Shabbos. Well, what are the standards in terms of tefillin and on a day of Chol? And that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to wear one pair of tefillin. In fact, we can go a step further. The Torah says, in Parshas Rei, it says, "Es kol ha'dover asher anochi mitzav eschem hayom, tishmru lasos lo tosif olav." So one of the great commentaries here on Masechta Erev in the Toras Chaim quotes that pasuk of Al Tosif, and he says that's why the Gemara is assuming that even on a weekday, the maximum number of tefillin you can wear is one pair. If you wear two pairs of tefillin, you violate Al Tosif. So that's not even an option. And therefore, in Hatzolah, to save tefillin on Shabbos, Nami, we're also bound by the same definition Derech Malbush for tefillin of Chol, and therefore, Zug Echad In Tfei Lo. We're not going to allow you to wear two pairs of tefillin because on Chol you wouldn't be allowed to wear two pairs of tefillin. And now we're going to have to figure out about how to interpret the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel, who says that you're allowed to wear two pairs of tefillin. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Shnayim Shnayim. And what that means is Rabbi Gamliel is going to allow you not one pair of tefillin but two pairs of tefillin simultaneously, but not three pairs of tefillin. My Kosova, let's analyze Rabbi Gamliel. Now, the Gemara at this point introduces a fundamental machlokas about whether or not there's a mitzvah to wear Shabbos 7 days of the week or only 6 days of the week. Is tefillin obligatory even on Shabbos? We're familiar with the drush of Chazal that we're going to have later on about Os, that Shabbos is called an Os, tefillin is called an Os, and therefore we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. But there's another Shita, and that Shita says that every day of the week, including Shabbos, you're obligated in tefillin. So Gemara now analyzes Rav Gamliel's Shita and our mission about wearing two pairs of tefillin simultaneously to save them on Shabbos. Eko Sover, if Rav Gamliel holds Shabbos man, tefillin, who knows, the man of the mitzvah tefillin is even on Shabbos. Now, watch this. once you have a mitzvah of wearing tefillin, that upgrades it from the level of malbush to the level of tachshit. There are two different categories of heterim that are leniencies that allow you to carry things on Shabbos and circumvent the violation of Hatzah. One is called Derech Malbush, and the other is called a Tachshit. Now, when you wear tefillin and you're Makayim the mitzvah of tefillin, that's called a Tachshit. If you hold that Shabbos is a Zman tefillin, then once again, when I wear tefillin on Shabbos, it's a Tachshit. So the Gemara asks, Zug Echad in Tfeilo, why then does Rabbi Gamliel limit us? The ceiling, the top limit, is only going to be two pairs of tefillin. Why not wear more than two pairs of tefillin? Every single pair of tefillin is a kiyum of the mitzvah of tefillin, and therefore it's always considered a tachshit. Notice that at this point in the Gemara seems to be oblivious to what we discussed before when we quoted Taras Chaim, namely the Iser Bal Tosef. And at this point, I'm going to have to introduce something that is, in a sense, I'm being mocked in some ucha. I'm giving you a little preview of coming attractions. And that is that if you hold that tefillin, in order to fulfill the mitzvah tefillin, you require kavana l'shem tefillin. Here he's not interested, his intention, his purpose is not to be mekayim the mitzvah tefillin, but rather to save the tefillin. So therefore, it's possible that the Gemara holds his Nobal Tosim in wearing multiple pairs of tefillin simultaneously because he does it not for the sake of the mitzvah of tefillin. Bal Tosim means I want to change the mitzvah and add to the mitzvah. He's doing for the sake of Hatzolah. But then you might ask, well, if tefillin needs kavana, l'shem mitzvah tefillin, and here he doesn't have kavana, he's only interested in Hatzolah, so why is it called a tachshit? Even if I grant you that Shabbos is man tefillin, he... and there is a mitzvah tefillin on Shabbos, but I'm not wearing it for the sake of the mitzvah. Well, that's going to introduce a whole nother machlokas about whether mitzvah tzrichos kavana. All these issues are going to come up in our sugya. Ikar sofer Shabbos loves man tefillin hu. If Shabbos is not obligatory in tefillin, then the only heter you can have by wearing tefillin on Shabbos is malbush. On the weekday, you can call tefillin a tachshit, but on Shabbos, if Shabbos is lavzman tefillin, then it's not a tachshit. So you're going to talk about derech malbush. Well, the Gemara says if it's derech malbush, mishum atzola derech malbush shorli rabbanan is afilu tfei nami. In other words, just one second. Let me go over this one more time. Sorry. Oh, let me take it from the top. Sorry, I got a little confused in the mathematics here. My kasav, what does Rav Gamliel hold? E kasav Shabbos man tefillin hu, and tefillin therefore is considered a tachshit. Is zug echad in tefillo? We could only be matir one pair of tefillin at the same time, and the reason for that would be is you're not allowed to wear two tefillin at the same time because then it is an Iser Bal Tosef. So the Gemara is in fact applying Bal Tosef, even though he doesn't seem to have in mind the mitzvah. He's not trying to change the mitzvah. He's doing it for the sake of Hatzolah, but mitzvahs einam tzrichas kavan. But Ika Sover Shabbos loves man tefillin hu, then we're going with a different approach that we're allowed to wear tefillin because it's derech malbush, not because of the tachshit. And therefore, the Gemara thinks that if it's feasible to wear more than one pair of tefillin at the same time, in fact, the Gemara thinks you can wear three pairs of tefillin at the same time. So therefore, we're going to stretch the definition of Derech Malbush, and Mishum Atzol Derech Malbush Shari Le'erbon Afil Tfei Nami, we should allow even more than two pairs of tefillin. Li olam kasover Shabbos loves man tefillin hu v'chishori rabbanu linyan atzol derech malbush b'makom tefillin. The tefillin have to be worn on a certain place, a certain location in the body. And that location in the body could only tolerate two pairs of tefillin, but not three pairs of tefillin. That's called makom tefillin. So that during the week, when you're makayim the mitzvah of tefillin, tefillin are tachshit, and you can theoretically get two pairs of tefillin on the same spot. But if you're going to wear tefillin outside of that spot, you know, like you're going to wear the second pair of tefillin a little bit on the right, a little bit on the left of what the Gemara is going to call kadkado, or the tefillin shel yad have to be in a very specific place, kibores, and he's now wearing an extra pair of tefillin, it's not on the kibores, in that case, then it can't be considered a tachshit for sure. And not only that, it's probably not even a malbush. And therefore becomes, by definition, a masa, and it's also in Shabbos. So how is it that Rabbi Gamliel allows you, if Shabbos lavs man tefillin, to wear two pairs of tefillin? This would be a violation of Shabbos. The Hachi, says the Gemara, Sugechanami in Tfeilo. Can you really wear two pairs of tefillin on that same spot? So that it's considered something which during the week would be a tachshit, and therefore we can consider it on Shabbos a malbush. Om Rav Shmuel, Bar Rav Yitzchok Malkom, Yesh Barosh Lach Nia Poshei Tefillin. That there's place on the head to wear two pairs of tefillin simultaneously as a mitzvah tefillin, which means it would be a tachshit on Chol, and it's considered a malbush on Shabbos. The Gemara is now assuming that there's no room on your head for three pairs of tefillin. Hanicha de Rosh. I understand with regard to tefillin shel Rosh that you can take two pairs of tefillin and wear them simultaneously, and they'll both fit on the makom hatefillin berosh diyad ma'ikol meimar. What's the reason that Rabbi Gamliel is going to allow you to wear two pairs of tefillin shel yad simultaneously? Now, it's not that the entire upper arm is a makom tefillin. You need what's called kibores, and the Gemara assumes that you can wear one pair of tefillin on the kibores. So the Gemara says, ki de Rav Huna, de Om Rav Huna, pa'omim shodim bomen asodim, v'chaviloso al rosho. So a person is carrying something on his head, so therefore it's not covered at tefillin to carry a burden, a bundle on your head, and at the same time wear tefillin shel rosh. So what does he do? Mesalka me rosho. He takes off his tefillin shel rosh, and instead of covering it with this bundle, the koshom bizroa, and he ties them down next to the tefillin shel yad. So what we see here is that on the zroa there's room for two pairs of tefillin shel yad. So we ask the question, Ema de Omer Rav Huna, Shlo Yidin Gwem Derech Bizayim. Rav Huna, because he doesn't want to cover the tefillin shel rosh with a bundle, so in order to avoid Bizayim at tefillin, therefore he allows you to put the tefillin on your arm, shel rosh on the yad. But Roy Mi Omar, did Rav Huna mean to say that this is Royal Mitzvaso? He's not saying Royal Mitzvaso. He's saying this is the lesser of two evils. And instead of wearing your tefillin shel rosh on the rosh, in this case, you should be wearing it on your hand. But he doesn't mean to say that there's enough room on the arm for two pairs of tefillin shel yad. Elo kidomer av Shmuel bar Yitzchak. Mokum yesh berosh sheroy laniyah po shtei tefillin. It's talking about mokum sheyesh beyad sheroy laniyah po tefillin. There's enough room on the arm for two pairs of tefillin. So when Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said that you can wear two pairs, Rav Shmuel said you can wear two pairs of tefillin on your head in the spot of the tefillin, he meant the same thing could apply to the shel yad. You can wear on the kibboros two pairs of tefillin simultaneously, both on the kibboros b'makom tefillin. Hence, in the weekday it would be a tachshit, and on Shabbos it's a malbush. it's a little bit odd in my mind that the Gemara is vacillating back and forth. How much room is there on the arm? And maybe it should depend upon each individual and also the size of the tefillin. Now the Gemara takes a little bit of a digression. And the Gemara wants to talk now about the place where you put the tefillin shel Rosh and the place on the body where you put the tefillin shel Yad. Tana de Menashe. We have a braisa that says, on the pasuk says, "Upshartem lios al yodecha," and the braisa says, "Zo kiboris." This is an area where the muscle, when you flex your muscle, it bulges out. It's in the middle of the upper arm, and that's the place where you put the tefillin shel yad. Then the Torah says, "Vayu telfos beinecha zo kod kod." There's an area on the top of the head which is called kodkod. So the Gemara asks immediately, kodkod hecha, where is this kodkod? How do you identify it? Amri debe Rav Yanai, the Braisa says, mokum shemocho shel tinok rofes. There's a spot on the top of the head where in a newborn baby, an infant, it's very, very soft. Maybe, Doc, you could tell us, we didn't take anatomy 1.1. What is this called in anatomical terms? If your mute system works. All right. So the Gemara says, Lema, Bidur Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak, Kom Miflugi. Are you telling me that the Tanakam and Rabbi Gamliel, in the question of whether you wear two pairs of tefillin to save them or one, are arguing really about Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak, the Tanakama Lesle, the Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. David, you could actually send me a little message if you know how to do that in Zoom. Anyway, because the sound is good old, as we call it, MM. Okay, so they're arguing about Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, which means that, according to Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, there's room on the head and the arm for two pairs of tefillin. And that would reflect the shita of Rav Gamliel Islay, de Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. And therefore, he's going to be mocked at taking out two pairs of tefillin simultaneously. But the Rabbana, the Tanakhama, never accepted Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, and he holds that no, you can only wear one pair of tefillin in that spot, in the location. And therefore, it's going to be a masa if he wears two pairs of tefillin. So Gemara says, lo, the kuli alma islay de Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Everybody agrees that you could put two pairs of tefillin simultaneously on the makom tefillin. Hacha b'shabbos man tefillin kam miflugi. What they're arguing, rather, is about whether or not there's a mitzvah of tefillin even on Shabbos. Tanakama sover Shabbos zman tefillin. Shabbos is the time is included in the obligation of tefillin. And therefore, when he wears tefillin for the sake of the mitzvah of tefillin, to be mekayim that mitzvah, it's a tachshit. And for the sake of hatzolah, we're going to allow you to take them out of Rishus HaRav and bring them inside to the Rishus HaYochid to protect the tefillin. But they were only matir one pair of tefillin because an additional pair of tefillin beyond the mitzvah is not called a tachshit. According to the Tanakhama, Rav Gamliel Sover Shabbos loves man tefillin hu. He holds that there's no mitzvah of tefillin on Shabbos, and therefore tefillin is going to borrow from chol, and therefore he's going to hold that you could, as we said in the name of Rav Shmuel, wear two pairs of tefillin in the makom tefillin, and that's going to be considered a malbush, a tachshit, even though he's not wearing it as a mitzvah, but since during the week he wears it as a mitzvah, and it's theoretically possible to wear two pairs of tefillin in the same spot, he's going to therefore allow you to wear two pairs of tefillin simultaneously for the sake of Hatzalah. The Ibois Ema, the Gemara now offers the second possibility, the Kuli Alma. Both the Tanakhama and Gamliel agree that Shabbos man tefillinu. And therefore, If Shabbos is Zman Tefillin, then it's only a mitzvah to wear one pair of tefillin. V'hacha b'mitzvah srifas kavana k'mifligi. Tanakama sovar, lotzeis boy kavana. From Gamliel sovar, lo boy kavana. So that according to the Tanakama, you require kavana, and therefore it's also to be matzil b'Shabbos more than one pair of tefillin, because if he's going to have kavana l'shem mitzvah, he's going to violate the Isur of Bal Tosif on the second pair of tefillin. If he doesn't have kavana l'shem mitzvah, then shnei zugos lo yichashvu tachshid elamasa. He says if he doesn't have kavana l'shem mitzvah, then two pairs of tefillin are not going to be considered a tachshid. He's carrying the tefillin. Rav Gamliel holds you don't need kavana tefillin, and therefore you will not violate Bal Tosif because you don't have kavana. And therefore, a person will save two pairs of tefillin, and his kavana is for atzola, not for the mitzvah. It doesn't matter. Even without kavana, he's mekayim the mitzvah, because mitzvah seidem tzrichas kavana. And therefore, both of them are considered a tachshit, because each one of them, we could say, he's mekayim the mitzvah. He's not violating Bal Tosif, as we said before, because if we're talking about a situation of Hatzolah without Kavana, then there's no violation of Bal Tosif.
And an inyan of Mukta.
Oh, so the Mukta issue, I think we're going to take up later on in the Sugya, and that deals with whether or not for the sake of Hatzolah, we could override the violation of Mukta.
Just to review the last two paragraphs that we discussed, the Gemara says the Kuli Alma Islahu Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchok. Everybody agrees that you can fit two pairs of tefillin on simultaneously. Hacha b'Shabbos man tefillin ka miflegi. Tanakama sover Shabbos man tefillin hu. And Rav Gamliel sover Shabbos loves man tefillin hu. So if according to Tanakama Shabbos man tefillin hu, so why are we limited to one pair of tefillin at a time? And it means that tefillin, when he wears them, and that engenders a kiyum mitzvah, becomes a tachshit, and therefore, for the sake of atzol, they were matir, taking it in. But, lo hi tiru kach, laniach yosem izug echem, neshe tefillin osofos milvada mitzvah, enim tachshit lidato. That Tanakama holds that you cannot wear a second pair of tefillin and call and consider that second pair of tefillin as a tachshit. Rav Gamliel, on the other hand, is going to allow you to wear two pairs of tefillin because Shabbos loves man tefillin hu. He holds that even if you're wearing tefillin and it's not for the sake of a mitzvah, and certainly on Shabbos it's not a mitzvah, so ein b'hanachas a mitzvah. Nevertheless, since he can put two pairs of tefillin in that mokum aroy lehem, therefore it's considered a tachshit. And I have a long note over here. He says, Nimtzo shetanakama v'gamliel cholkim b'shnei dvarim. There's a double machlokas here between Tanakama and Gamliel. Number one, whether Shabbos is man tefillin or not. And number two, are tefillin, in a case where you're not wearing them as a mitzvah, they're considered a tachshit. And this is all based on Rashi. Now, what's the relationship between these two issues? They seem to be independent issues. And the Gaon Yaakov that we always quote says that Tanakam and Gamliel received a tradition from their Rebbeim that when a person finds tefillin, he should wear them and bring them in to the Rishus HaYochel. Tanakam holds that Shabbos is man tefillin. He holds that the reason why they were matir for the sake of Hatzolah and wearing the tefillin is because even if it wasn't L'tzorch HaTzolos HaTefillin, he would still wear them on Shabbos. L'chein lo itires HaTzolah el kafi mitzvason v'lo yoser. Since in the absence of the need for HaTzolah, you would wear these tefillin, when you have the need for HaTzolah, they were matir, exactly as you would do it if there was no tzorch HaTzolah, meaning just for the sake of the mitzvah of wearing tefillin on Shabbos, which is one pair of tefillin and not more. Rav Gamliel, on the other hand, holds that Shabbos ain't a mitzvah tefillin. And now he has to analyze this transmission that he got from his Rebbeim that you're allowed to wear tefillin for the sake of Hatzalah. And he came to the conclusion that it must be that if there was such a tradition, it's based on the fact that wearing tefillin is considered a tachshit. Again, you have to understand the difference between tachshit and malbush, but even if he's not wearing it for the sake of a mitzvah, because again, Rav Gamliel has no other choice, because on the one hand he holds that Shabbos is lavzman tefillin, on the other hand he has this tradition that you're allowed to wear the tefillin for the sake of Hatzalah, so we must be assuming that wearing tefillin is called a tachshit, even when it's not a mitzvah, because on Shabbos there's no mitzvah. But once you introduce tachshit, then you could ask yourself, well, how many pairs of tefillin can I wear simultaneously in that matzav, in that situation, which would be, if it weren't Shabbos, would be a key mitzvah tefillin, and that's where the tachshit is, and that's where we rely on Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, that you can wear both pairs of tefillin at the same time on the makom tefillin. And then there's a kasha here from the Marsha. Why did the Gemara make the machlokes here depend upon whether Shabbos is man tefillin or not? The Gemara could have said, everybody agrees that Shabbos is man tefillin, but they're arguing only on the issue of whether tefillin shaloka mitzvasan, because again, the second pair of tefillin is shaloka mitzvasan, is a tachshit. Tanakam holds it's not a tachshit, and therefore you cannot be matzah more than one zug. And Rav Gamliel holds it's a tachshit, and therefore he could be matir, he would matir, even saving two pairs of tefillin, as long as he doesn't have kavanah l'shem mitzvah. So b'li neder mirtzah Hashem tomorrow, we'll pick it up here on the top of Sadi Vav Amud Aleph.